to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and I just wanted to say, hey, we are all going in a bunch of different directions with these new CMEs that have hit the planet, big time. Have you noticed that the demonic extraterrestrials are on the high, call it, swing? I mean, the stories I'm hearing, I just heard them even from my girlfriend, but there are so many stories out there that I'm hearing from emails all around the world where the line is really clearly getting cut. The line is being drawn in the sand for what is about to go down. You're going to start noticing that if there's any weak links around your intimate circle of friends, even at work, etc., you're going to have people just really spinning out because the light is, well, let's just put it this way. It's making many uncomfortable with themselves. So you're really going to start experiencing some right out of the clear blue, unexpected, possibly backlashes, a lot of passive aggressive behavior. I'm getting this myself in one situation. And I do want to clarify with everybody, I'm not moving again, like I said in my last interview. I just was moving a garage. And so what I meant by that was like moving again. So I just want to stress to everyone, no, I'm not moving out of the house that I'm in. Anyway, this is a pre-recorded interview for November 10th, 2015. And I have with me, as promised, Johnny Alpha / Captain Jack. And we are going to continue going down this bizarre pathway of what really is going on out there in space. In particular, his fascination and experience was with the planet of Mars. But he doesn't really have a bio. He's been kind of a very behind-the-scenes kind of dude and doesn't really want to be out there in the mainstream media per se, but really wants to get
some information and truth out regarding disclosure, stuff that he's been sitting on and has received kind of the green light to let's just say, release this information once and for all. I think he kept seeing a lot of information being put out there that was a bit upsetting to him because he didn't feel that it was all truth. And of course, on the one hand, you'll notice with Jack, he's very willing to be open to other people's, you know, experiences. But on the other hand, there are some things that he just feels flat out very, very cut and dry on. One of them being from the last interview, us coming from a hierarchical species of insectoids, which he refers to as the trisexual race. So we're going to go ahead and dive back into that. Did I get that right, Jack?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't really have names for all the different aliens.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I received right out the gate from feedback was, are you serious? This guy doesn't even believe that the Queen of England and the presidents of the United States and the heads of all these countries are flesh-eating, blood-drinking, non-human beings, that they do participate in child sacrifice and satanic ritual, etc. There is a massive amount of information to support that that is going on. So yeah. I think all of us want to hear from you why you don't feel that's going on, number one. And number two, well, let me just say one more thing. I noticed that Randy feels the same way, Randy Kramer. And there's something about you guys that have been in Mars that you seem to know that we don't know. So I'll just shut up now and let you answer that.
Well, what we know is that we do the dirty jobs, so they wouldn't be doing that. We'd be doing it. We'd be in on it. We'd know all about it because those people are surrounded. Once you're inside the so-called intelligence community, you can't just wander around being some world leader or some big shot and not have people all over you know what you're doing everywhere you go. And so if they were going to be, gathering up babies to munch on or drink their blood, we'd be in on it for sure. We'd be out doing the dirty part of the work, standing outside the building, or we'd be in on it because we did all the jobs. And they used to come around and look at us like, holy cow, there's those guys that do the crazy stuff, not the other way around. So if there's, a secret ring inside the secret ring, then maybe some of this did happen. The other reason it would be that it's not a human-based activity, and that would go back into history way back to the very beginning where there was such insane gatherings. But they wouldn't be at the behest of some politician or a family member who's on a really nice gravy train there and really doesn't have to go out and risk everything that they are to do some crazy ritual that just I can't see really much reason for, unless you're some kind of an alien being inhabiting the body of an actual human being. It's not something people do or could get away with. The exception to that would be like the huge scandal that came down, I guess, basically around the BBC, although, of course, anything at that level is going to be jet set and worldwide. We started hearing about that in around 1977, okay? That's a long time ago, back during punk rock. We started hearing that mention that this stuff was getting a little too far out of hand, and it ended up there was one or two, and one in particular, really genuinely crazy psychotic person involved in that allowed a lot of stuff to get out of hand a little bit too far, and again, Randy tells you the same thing. It's not a human thing to do, it's the kind of thing that actually adds weight to the whole theory of we have alien basically insect based or reptilian based cruelty, because people don't do things like that. In fact, any of the politicians or royal type people that were around that I've ever met just seemed like part of show business when it came right down to it.
You brought up a couple of things. I mean, number one, nobody that has done their research actually looks at the heads of state, the presidents or prime ministers of countries, the royal family. They don't look at these people as human beings.
Yeah.
They don't look at them. They truly, I mean, even Princess Di has been quoted as saying that her husband was a reptile.
Right. Well, there you go. There's, you know, this is no longer human business. This is not us at all, right? If it's a fact that these people get, you know, are possessed like this, well, then they've been replaced by some kind of alien creature, because I know that these people were completely normal people coming up through the system before they were the president, before they were the queen or the king or the ruler, or how it all keeps coming up. The latter, they were just hanging around, you know, they were just like anybody.
Okay, well, that would make more sense that we're talking more semantics here, because
right. You
guys are being a little bit more literalist, saying, no, if they're a human being, they're not going to be doing that, when in fact, they're in the human being. They're actually hijacking a human being to carry out these sorts of feats. Now, you mentioned that there was this story where you were Jason and you were... Yeah. You were captured by these Pleiadian flying saucers, and they took you to, they took you to some sort of kind of arena, and it was almost like a gladiator type environment, and they were eating the flesh of whatever beings they threw out into the middle. So it's a similar type of thing, you know?
That's the Jason, I call it, wait, it's just a name. That's the stored psionic memory that you or anyone can experience. It's just like a movie, okay? It's not anything to do with me. I just got to witness it, right? That happened in the ancient past, right after the planet next door blew up, and we had the cataclysm and the first flood and all the damage to the Earth, and human beings were more or less freed for the first time on the surface of the Earth, and it was just a wild, savage, crazy time. And our Jason character was captured on the surface of the Earth and taken up to Mars, viz. Hell. And anything that was taken up to Mars was taken there for a reason, usually to be put into combat, to make made to work, whatever else, right? They didn't just steal people for food. But once you lost your fight in the ring, what was left of you would probably, you know, go down to be processed and eaten, right? Yeah. So we've never been preyed on as food, right? Because these aliens that were here all along, well, they're more intelligent than we can even understand. They're very highly, highly intelligent and competent at what they do. So they didn't just have mindless, you know, we're going to take the human beings and eat them. There was combat and ritual, and, you know, we were like highly regarded pets on one hand and slaves on the other.
Wow.
And, you know, the eating of human beings, even by the aliens, was not really the reason for any of it. And so when you get to this story of the human beings and this crazy hierarchy that they're proposing goes back into history. These demonic, non-human rulers of our countries. Gee, you know, if it's not true, it certainly looks like about the most serious attempt to destabilize an entire system. You know, I mean, I can't think of anything much worse than your leaders and rulers are, you know, completely evil. Well, anybody who believes that is just all of a sudden in a world of confusion, you know. I mean, what's going on if our leaders are these insane reptilian monsters? It's not the kind of thing that any of us ever encountered. We encountered, you know, little small occurrences of individuals who were out of hand and had maybe some people around them who were able to pull off some crazy stuff. Having said that, there are these insane gatherings and meetings sometimes that happen. And I'm not privy. I can't sit here and say that I know what everybody else is doing or what George Bush is doing or these people whose names I just threw out as an example. Mm-hmm. You don't think that, you know, they're responsible running the show. If, you know, behind the scenes, if they are, it's because they've been taken over somehow by this incredible force that people have a very hard time believing is real. You know, so they'd rather just say, oh, no, it's these evil people and they're reptiles. I think that's a little bit too easy.
You know, Jack, a lot of people are scratching their heads all the time trying to figure out who is really running the Vatican, who is really on top of the puppet strings of those guys. And after my last interview with you, I'm wondering if these trisexual beings that you have been talking about are indeed in, they're in power and they oversee the Vatican, which basically oversees the planet. What do you think about that?
Well, okay, not quite. We have to go to the so-called saucer aliens, who are the ones who were here all along. And I don't, you know, there's maybe 57 varieties of aliens here, and we can talk about the greys and the humanoids and the other insectoid type races that are not so primitive and aggressive. And also the fact that for the last 100 years, the saucer crew have really mellowed out. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. The male alien, when they were asked to leave the system, our solar system in the 70s, right after the Mars mission, they all packed up and loaded up with fuel, and all 30 saucers that were in our solar system headed off towards the Pleiades, looking for their next wild planet that they could make into their home and dominate everybody. Well, that race, going all the way back in history, the last 100 years, we're not really so interested. We're not coming to the Earth as often. We're not snatching people up like they used to do. And of course, all of that evidence is on Mars. Every person who was ever taken up there and died up there is represented up there as the as a carving or, you know, a statue. And more or less cooled off to a large degree, and deals were made with them such that when they left the system, the male alien was too old to leave. He was up around 1,000 years old. They lived to 1,000 or 1,200. But his female partner and her other, you know, henchmen, you know, they all took off, right? And left him behind here. They were told they could come back. So there's been communication with these creatures, and they're highly evolved. They are our allies now, and from what I understand, there's 3 of them left around this solar system.
Wow. Okay,
and they'll be younger ones, right? Maybe only 100 or 2 years old.
No, Jack, hold on 1 second. Can you clarify for me, are you definitely talking about the trisexual beings, or are you talking about the Pleiadian saucer beings?
Same thing. There's no such thing to me as Pleiadian saucer. I never even heard anything about the Pleiades until these saucers, which had been in our system for tens of thousands of years, left. And they had it off, and we watched them burn for 18 days, I think it was, before they didn't stand anymore. And they were headed for the Pleiades, where they're not from, and they've never been. So I don't know anything about a race coming from the Pleiades. This race came from back towards Galactic Central a long, long time ago. They're not from this solar system. They're from a much, much harsher, crueler, dense, radiated, heavy gravity and compression part of the galaxy. And they have a 900,000-year history, they told me, approaching 1 million years of recorded history of them and their kind moving out all through the Milky Way galaxy. So when they got out here, we're out in a wild part of space. And it's just about the scariest part of the whole thing is that this only ended in the last 50 to 100 years. We've just sort of slowly moved away from being an absolutely primitive outpost on the edge of nowhere, a wild planet where these things could come and do exactly what they wanted and build up an entire hierarchy. Their whole thing is hiding hiding the past, hiding the history of the Earth, and now hiding the true history of Mars.
So are you, Jack, are you saying that they are our allies now? And yes. Really? Okay, so they're our allies now. They would not be as aggressive or
They're not allowed by Greys and others who can spoil their fun. Okay. They can't come in here and snatch up human beings in numbers and take them up to do crazy things on Mars anymore. And they haven't done that anyway for quite some time, right? Near the end, I remember they were told, you can stay here, but you have to follow the rules. You can't steal cattle. You can't come down and, you know, because they need food. They are predatory and carnivorous and huge and aggressive, you know, and in certain ways. But, of course, much more intelligent than us. So it, the whole thing is very hard to grasp. There could be this superior race here all along who would hide their own presence, you know. And I don't think they've been able to influence us so much. But a terrible thing happened when they left, which is Boyd was left behind. I mean, they've been here. This has been their place all along. So the instant they leave, something else will come in, or else they will come back disguised as something else on this psionic level. Okay? Okay. We can't compete on, and that's why we have to have Greys and other humanoids and other aliens here in order to be able to match up at all, even to just be able to stay aware of what's going on. We need help from races that can deal with this. Like you can hear them talking about the new science of psionics. Well, they had that mastered at a higher level than we can grasp before human beings ever had speech. That's just the way they are. You know? They had galactic space travel, and they had this incredible psionic power all along. So we're just catching up to even understanding what they are. And I think now that we don't have open conflict with them, but I will say that right through my own life, when those creatures supposedly left this solar system, in fact, something else may have just stepped right in and said, oh boy, that huge, powerful, gigantic presence that's had this whole solar system under its thumb for tens of thousands of years is gone. Well, we're just going to step in and start taking over people and trying to, make this their planet, you know. So it's either them sneaking back in or something like them, and that's in the dark side.
Okay.
That everybody knows is out there that people have endless experience with and can't identify, because we don't have anything to, since our history is a complete lie, we don't have anything to pin it to, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's so difficult. It's part of disclosure, which we have nobody has any experience on how to do what we're doing right now, or what we're trying to do, which is like, okay, we're trying to disclose all of this to billions of people. Well, nobody's ever done anything like this before. So there's no program, there's no answer, there's no
manual how to do it.
So when I start to, I have to be very careful not to spread out and try to, bring in too much stuff and start generalizing about these creatures. They're very real, and they're very, very intelligent, which means a highly evolved sense of humor and everything else.
Wow. You know,
so back when, just so people don't think there's monsters out there, way back when this was happening, 40 or 50 years ago, the deal was all done with them, and they understood. They said, yeah, okay, we can't come down and eat you, take your people, or steal your cattle, or anything else, you know. If we want to have fun, if an alien wants to party, he can go into the ocean and fight with killer whales, or come on the land and battle with whatever he wants, you know, because they're really physically dominant. And, the Earth was pretty much freed from them just coming here and doing what they wanted, which is what they've been able to do since the beginning of time, you know. People don't want to think that we had giant insect-based life forms, don't think bugs, because they're much, much more evolved, warm-blooded creatures than we are. This is what's hard to understand. When you look and see a giant insect life form, it's not a bug. It's a warm-blooded creature with maybe 500,000 years more evolution than we have.
I actually thought about our last interview, and it was, in some ways, it was very logical to me in the fact of how the planet is created and what it begins with. You know, the rocks, the algae, you know, then you have the insects, et cetera. So I started thinking in terms of that. Of course, if that's not a lie.
No, evolution is, of course, real, and you know, all of this. I'm not anti-science of any kind, physics, biology, chemistry. Any of it. It all makes sense, and it happens concurrent with these more advanced races that are out there coming from as you go back towards the center of the galaxy, everything gets millions and then billions of years older. You know, it all formed and was happening, you know, when we were gas out here in this part of the. So this is what galactic connection is. It's vast. It's gigantic.
Yeah. Massive.
It's too much for the brain once you start to see the galaxy. I mean, the one person I know who got to travel to nearby solar systems, she left for about a week, 10 days. This would be in the 70s. And when she came back, it was a year later here. So that's relativistic so-called time travel. Of course, it isn't. But anyway, she sat there and I said, oh, she's back. And I went in to talk to her. And all she could say was just things like, it was just so big and so amazing. They were building this thing between planets and they were making a this and that, but she could hardly talk about it. It was just, she was just, her eyes would just sort of roll off and she'd go, oh, it's just so beautiful. It's so big. It's so complicated that, you know, and that's just neighboring space, you know, maybe 5 or 6 solar systems around us here. And that's what you have to end up looking at as soon as you've got more than the one race, which is all we had here, dominant for so long. Now that we've broken that, and it's been 40 or 50 years, it's still very difficult to grasp.
It's like we don't have a point of reference, so therefore the brain is having a difficult time to register the possibility of it in the first place. It reminds me of that movie in The Secret where the Indians saw the ships coming to the, yeah, you know, to the coast, and they'd never seen a ship before like that, so they didn't even know, you know, basically most of them didn't see it at all. That was one thing. And then when they did, they didn't even know how to register it in their head because there was no point of reference. You mentioned something about the water bear. You were trying to describe him, and I went up and I looked at like a water bear under a microscope. Is that what you're talking about? Oh, yeah. God.
Well, the male alien has a head at either end. Okay? Complete savage. Monster head. And there's some, got some pictures from Mars. I'm going to put up that feature carvings of the male alien. Just, you know, the water bears are like one of the oldest forms of life that there is. And if you take sterile water and dust that's been in a cave with no life for 20,000 years, you have water bears within an hour or so. So there's, you know, life is like that all over the galaxy. It's the same as it is on the Earth. It's everywhere. And so, yeah, the very simplest life forms, like water bears and some of the microscopic creatures, are, in fact, just as successful elsewhere. So basically, it's like a water bear that has an extra, or some creature like that. It looks like a turkey louse, too, if you want to go that way. But just to give them an extra few million years to evolve up to warm blood.
Oh, my God.
From heavy, heavy gravitation and heavy radiation, and you've got these life forms, right? In fact, it's absurd to assume that any of the life forms that we see on Earth, which is tens of thousands of variations of specialized creatures, why wouldn't it be exactly like that all through the galaxy? And of course it is, you know. So it's quite logical that a creature like a water bear would be much more highly evolved than us, since they've been around very, very much longer. and the female being a wasp-like creature. Well, same thing. That's a very successful, powerful, primitive life form that there's no way it's not going to survive. How they ended up trisexual with the third member being the serpent, I have no idea. That's just, that's the galaxy for you. It just doesn't care.
Now, when you say, okay, a couple questions. So when you say trisexual, you're talking about this third being is an actual separate serpent-like being?
Oh, yeah. It's like their pet. It would be like your dog, you know, or your but much more part of the... And there's carvings up on Mars, gigantic ones that can be seen only from the air, of the three of them in a ring. And you can see the telepathic energy going around. That's part of their their union, right? But the serpent is more like a pet, but in that it doesn't have the appendages to help fly the spaceship. It takes two of them to fly. The male is downstairs, and the female is upstairs piloting the saucer when we saw those 20,000-mile-hour turns and stuff. There's some talent there. There's an ability there that we don't have. But the serpent creature would be, you know, in a saucer. But then they might park in the clouds, and they might get out and just float around. They can do that in this field around the saucer. I saw that. It was just like, wow, it's just taking, it's sunbathing, you know, in the cloud.
It's sunbathing.
Well, it's hovering. Then it might come. They might come down to Alaska and swim around a bit, and people will... Look, a giant snake in the water in Alaska. Huh, what do you know about that? You know, it's like, wait a minute, that can't be a reptile. What's it doing in Alaska?
That's such a trap. Now, the water bear kind of looks a little bit like, well, almost kind of like an earthworm.
Well, no, I mean, there's different. There's so many different microorganisms.
Okay.
That at one point somebody was saying it had features of that, features of trichulus. It's just a huge... unique insect, you know, and this life form, and so is the female. It's like a wasp, but is it a wasp? Well, it's kind of like a beetle too, and that part is almost like a spider. You can't say, oh, well, that's, you know, a variation of something we have on Earth. It just doesn't exist.
So, well, what do you feel caused them to become so aggressive and wanting?
Not even that. It's the early galaxy is just savage, brutal place beyond our ability to understand. And even their flying saucer was so simple. It was like crude, but very, very powerful. And they just never changed it. You know, the way they would take off, and you can see on Mars the little craters with this, you can tell which ones were their parking places, right? And they would just take off from the ground. They'd skim forward 10 or 20 yards and lift off, right? Never occurred to them in a, you know, 10,000 years to build some little legs or wheels or make other gizmos, because they were just the supreme predator and there was absolutely no need to change anything, right? So insect mentality, very different, highly logical. They don't make mistakes. They don't lie ever about anything. It's just alien consciousness, and that's why are they so aggressive? Well, they're not. They're just, why are human beings so aggressive? We think we're not, but our actions prove otherwise. They just were at the top of a hierarchy of tens of thousands of different creatures, of which human beings were one. But that leaves, speaking of human beings, that I was going to talk about briefly about, just because I've been hearing so much about Anunnaki and the early humanoids and the 12 and the 14 types. Well, at the end of the mission on Mars there, where I got to ask a big series of questions of the saucer crew, one of the questions was, what else has been here in our solar system over the last 10,000-20,000 years that you guys have been sitting on top of everything? And they just answered that like any other question. They said, oh, these little humanoids were here. That's a separate story. They said the reptilians have been coming and going, and they've had a presence here. And they just show you everything, and these creatures have drifted in like giant space ticks, and you get to see all of more or less the life forms that have come here over the ages. Well, one of them is just one of the best stories ever. There was a castaway here, a true humanoid from a space traveling race right at the time of ancient Egypt. And this ties directly into the time of, you know, Jason and these early human beings that they have all these records of. Okay, this humanoid is cast away here, cruelly abandoned, dropped off on this planet of fairly monkey-like creatures way back. And he's tall. He's like big. I can't quite remember exactly what he looked like. Might have looked a bit bird-like or just different than anyone on the planet, right? Well, he's far and away the most intelligent creature on the planet, instantly. And big, you know, like he's taller than anyone else on the planet, right? So they're showing me this, and I'm like, wow, where did that guy come from? Well, he was dropped off. He's from the humanoid registry. Well, this guy gets busy and gets everyone working for him, like slaves, because he's so much smarter and bigger. And sure enough, they build a great pyramid. Okay, he builds it just because he's going to show you guys how to build some pyramids. So this will be one of those early pharaohs, and there'll be likenesses of him there looking like weird, you know, and tall, and all of these legends of the Anunnaka or whatever. Because what happened is he put that channel or that tunnel up through the Great Pyramid to send a psionic signal off towards his region of space where they thought, he thought, they'll be looking for me.
Yeah.
Because he's been cruelly dropped on this primitive planet, Earth. So they build this pyramid, and there's giants working on it, and giant animals, and all of this other stuff that is out there. These stories are out there about this so-called pharaoh trying to send this signal out into space. That's what he did. And sure enough, his friends came and rescued him from the earth. Well, he's about to leave, but the character that you're witnessing this through, which is like a Jason, an early human being, says, no, don't leave. You know, look what you've done since you've been here. We can't. You know how to do things. Well, you know, you got to stay here. Please don't leave. Well, no, I'm leaving. But he said, I'll send some of my people back because I've made this bond with you people, and I think you're worth saving or whatever. And away they go, and then sure enough, some of them come back, and we have the tall, early, different DNA coming on in to the earth, right? So something started at that moment that has turned into...
And this was what, ancient Egypt?
That's right. The guy built the pyramid. You know, apparently, he built the Great Pyramid. Because he could, and just to put this channel in it to send this psionic message. Other than that, the Great Pyramid, of course, was, you know, for crop storage and a few other reasons. We know what it was all about way back in the 50s. I remember being inside of it, and it was, everyone was there going, oh, look, this is what, obviously, and there's a door missing here, and there was thousands of pounds of salt here, and the whole thing was figured out what it was. But it was considered to be a little more important to keep it mysterious, just so that it was tourist reasons. You don't want it. You want to say, "Oh, it's a grain silo." Oh, well, that's not.
Do you feel that it had anything to do with a generation of power?
What is that? The Federation.
The actual pyramids. Do you think it had anything to do with generating power?
Oh no, no, the pyramids. We're not powered up like the cosmic ray guns. It makes a great story, but you know, they weren't. Early pyramids were for defense, strictly, against giant insects, reptiles, wild animals. There was nothing better than a pyramid to get inside, put that top stone in. They couldn't get to you, and you could defend yourself in there for months. Strictly, that's what pyramids on the Earth were for, was for survival. Or storage of crops so that they wouldn't rot, and a few other sensible, logical reasons. Nothing mystical about early human beings. They were not, you know, it would be like today. It's like, let's build a pyramid and power it up. It's like, well, how do you do that? It's like,
Do you feel that this guy, this so-called renegade guy, showed up on planet Earth because he was kind of an outlaw on another star system?
No, I think he was a good guy, and the people who dropped him off were some kind of cowboy characters that said, ha-ha, you know, they knew that he'd be rescued eventually, but they were just going to drop him off here because they...
It was like an experiment, almost.
Not even. I think some crime had happened or whatever. There had been some kind of disagreement or battle, and they were really not having a war, but he just, you know, just over the millennia, we had one castaway here, and he happened to be from an advanced, tall, strange-looking humanoid race. When he got here, he had enough, you know, to just look around and go, oh, no, what do I do with these apes and humans, you know? Well, let's build the biggest pyramid there's ever been. He either built it or he went in and, you know, put that tunnel in and did a whole bunch of other stuff that human beings were not capable of at that time. So we were boosted technologically and scientifically at that time. But that's where I was shown, anyway, that the whole different DNA coming in, and that human beings were maybe this tall, you know, within 100 years of that would start becoming a lot more varied and probably more intelligent and evolved because of this influx.
Hey, Zach, what time frame are you thinking of? Because what we're being told is not necessarily what's true as far as what time frame ancient Egypt really was.
Well, it seems like everything's compressed the way I when you see it from their viewpoint, it's just a few thousand years.
Interesting.
A big part of the cover-up is that major events have happened in the last few thousand years, and there's more history packed into the last 10,000 years than we would assume possible. And the early history of the Earth is so much more going on, and at such a higher rate of speed, and with so many different life forms here that, you know, according to our story, no, everything evolved slowly in stages. But there was a time, of course, when everything was here at the same time. The giant reptiles, the giant insects, the different types of humans, the travel back and forth between the planets was all happening here. And it was so spectacular and, big that it's kind of almost depressing to look at it now.
Wow.
How incredibly barbaric and crazy and wild the early galaxy in the solar system was. It's just like you can't believe a lot of it. It's when you see it, it's just like it can't be anything that big, and you can't have a planet blowing up, and you can't have all of this stuff. But apparently, that's our true history, you know, as opposed to this dream world, which has been deliberately all along erected for our just to keep us a cow planet.
God, that's a very interesting concept.
I
got to really process that one because, you know, I mean, we are in virtual reality.
It's not coming from my mind, right? I'm trying to just tell you what they show this to you. It's just like they're showing you, you know, normal, ordinary, daily occurrences for them, which, you know, back in an earlier time, there was no law or anything like it. There was no limit on how big creatures could be or how gigantic of a war they could set up or what they could do traveling between planets and so forth. As soon as you admit the existence of these advanced creatures back at a time when we were primitive, that's pretty much what reality was, as opposed to this little tiny little planet of, you know, us evolving up with nothing else happening at all. We've been alone all along. That doesn't make any sense to me, you know, anymore.
It's almost, you know, what popped in my head after you said that was if we are in this virtual reality, if we are in what many refer to as almost like a dreamlike state from the real reality, then were we put there basically because we all got out of control? We were all creating crazy barbaric, savage type stuff, and they've been trying to clean things up so that they could kind of put, you know, it's like the bad kid that got put over in the corner until some time that they could deal with that bad kid.
Well, when I say barbaric and cruel and nasty, it's not. It's just like, yeah, you know, insect life forms, they're not big on feelings as we know it, you know. They're quite highly logical and intelligent, but not really, I don't know, if you'd lived to 1,000 or 1,200 years, how would you look at these little silly creatures that only lived less than 100 years? You know, it's like the dogs or the cats.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of complete indifference to them. And it was only when, you know, it became necessary to cover up their presence that they did so. On Mars, they didn't have to really do that. They're doing that now, and they've been doing that steadily since the 70s, covering it up, cleaning it up, changing the records, changing the history. Exactly the same as was done on the Earth. And before we were on the Earth, of course, we had 10,000 plus years on the sister planet to do exactly the same thing. So they've done this with human beings and similar creatures multiple times. You know, they go through 10 generations of us, and they're still fairly young.
So are you
hard to grasp too, you know?
Are you saying that they've done this? Okay, are you saying that all of this cover-up is basically, ultimately, to cover up the fact that supposedly our predecessors were insectoid?
Well, no, they just came here. I mean, there's every insect life form that you can name has evolved here. And you know, in the ancient times, there's giant insects of every type. It's just been made to look like there was nobody else here all along. But these creatures, no, they came from somewhere back towards the center of the galaxy. They're spreading out like wasps or spiders from the nest, going out into the woods, you know, and finding a wild planet to set up. They're not from here. They're from an earlier, much more savage galaxy with no law. And I mean, crazy things, flukes can happen. And I asked them, where did you ever develop this spaceship technology? And they said, oh, we found it. What? And I said, we found a ship with a dead pilot in it. And we don't have any idea where it came from. We think it may have drifted in from another galaxy.
Oh, my God.
It had taken tens of thousands of years. And they found this thing, and it had this power module of some kind that they were able to adapt. And, of course, that's, you know, not the flying saucer itself was. It had the magnet and a few other features that make sense. But they had this other power source, which is the one that'll, you know, blow a hole in the planet or cause a mountain to rise or be able to carve the landscape into something intricate in a matter of minutes. You know? So it's like they could Photoshop the surface of the planet. I saw them do it. That's one of the most unbelievable things I ever seen, because I said, that's ugly what that is down there. Why do you have that? Oh, that's from 10,000 years ago, this horrendous scene carved into the landscape of Mars, right? I said, well, that's hideous, you know. Well, that's how it was, you know. I said, well, right there, he took this laser-type cutting device, well, it can be used as any number of things, and just recarved that whole part of the landscape in 2 minutes flat into this series of life forms, you know, all these evolving, you know, insect and reptilian life forms and stuff. I said, well, is that better? And I just couldn't even believe what he'd just done, you know? So that's what the superior part of it means, is that they really are, you know, 100,000 years ahead of us, at least.
That's amazing. So do you have any idea where they are now?
They all left, all three saucers headed off towards the Pleiades, and the old male alien stayed, because he was too old to undertake such an arduous journey, and apparently three of the saucers are in our solar system, have an agreement, they don't show up anymore, they don't fly around and get cited like they did hundreds of times in the past.
So, Jack, how do they procreate?
Well, I don't know. They have a trisexual union where they form a circle and do their thing, but I don't know. I didn't get that far into their personal life because it's very intense to be anywhere near these creatures. You can't look at them. You'll pass out if you come across one without warning.
Wow.
They can knock you out. They can make you think they can do a lot of tricks. But they're just really calm. They don't care.
They're apathetic, right?
Well, not even. They're just...
Just indifferent.
They're just used to, we are the top predator, and if anybody wants to take us on, go ahead. We have no secrets. We don't lie. It's just very hard to explain how something, a creature like that, would just be absolutely indifferent to large events in our life, those planets are wrecked, let's go find another one.
So there's no other species or race that can kind of take them on?
Well, that's what happened when the Greys came here. So I'll just go about them for 1 minute.
Okay.
First creatures that we thought were trying to get in touch with this were, I have trouble with the word Greys, right? Because people envision this, these gray, tall, skinny guys who maybe, whatever, right? But we didn't know from that. We had these balls of light hanging around, okay? And they were seen and seen and seen. Turned out they were trying to communicate, didn't understand whether they were like a probe or a means of some other race that may have been very far away, keeping an eye on this place like watchdogs, or whether they were a separate life form, right? Well, they, in order to communicate with us, since they don't use sight and they don't use sound, as we understand it, they built a body to come down. And it was a little guy with a big head. And they were attempting to build these shell bodies and come down to the earth and find what it's really like to live in this three-dimensional, communicating with sound, using vision to move. But they don't do that, which is not really that strange when you consider that most of the life on Earth is below the level of light in the ocean, most of the biomass, and that it's bioluminescent. It's a completely alien, different way of communicating. It's the same with these creatures. So they're going to make these little bodies. Well, this is where I ended up doing one of them in, and I think it's the first one. Because what happened was, very strange thing, they'll help explain the mind program a bit to people. Because I was at a friend's place in the living room, sitting on a couch like this, and I was dozing. Now, somehow, we were in between being on or, doing something via the program where we could be doing anything at all and being part of your normal life where, I work six or eight blocks away, I'm at my friend's house, I live a mile away, etc. But we had been doing something involving, the program or just whatever we're doing through the program at that time. But all of a sudden, I'm there sleeping and I'm dozing, not actually asleep. And I'm not really in that mode. I've gone back to, I'm going to get up and go back home and go to work, and I'm not really conscious of aliens or any of it. That's the other half of, the way the mind control program works. It's two separate worlds. So, I'm dozing. All of a sudden, there's something there coming across the room at me. Just coming right at me across the wall, across the room. And I'm asleep, and I wake up, and I see thing about 4 or 5 feet away coming right for me with great big eyes. Mm. I don't know what it is. It's got a great big head and it's about only this tall. Well, there's a fireplace right there and this thing is coming for me. I just press poker into it without one thought. In 2 seconds, I just went, bang! And it deflated and fell down dead. But it was a real living animal. It was something they had built. And they were trying to come, and I don't know which that did. But that was just shocking. It was over in 30 seconds. It was like, well, what was that? It really looked creepy. It wasn't finished looking, hi, I'm a cute little ET. It was just some kind of thing with a head and eyes coming straight at me, you know? And out of nowhere, when I was waking up, well, there happened to be fireplace tools. And I just, what is that? And then I suddenly realized, oh, I've done something there that is from the other world here. And there was great confusion for a while. Well, whatever that thing was, it's a construct, okay? It's not like you killed a real alien. It's something they were building to try to come down to interface with human beings. So they're separate from humanoids, I think.
Actually, Jack, that is in alignment with one of the most popular interviews on the internet from 1947 Roswell, when they interviewed, what was her name? Errol, A-I-R-L.
Right.
She was alive, for 3 days? And they interviewed her telepathically through the nurse that was there. And
right.
The only one she would speak to. And she basically said the same thing, that the consciousness would literally be extracted from that so-called gray being at an appropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
So that it was just it was used for some sort of purpose to kind of be an intermediary.
Not from Roswell. This would be maybe years after that. But they were building these. This is probably separate from Roswell because it's a lot bigger. But then I hear around the same time that, well, the super soldiers has met one of these things. Okay?
Oh.
Now, in his account, he goes, he hears something in the house. So it's right in his house, just like it was when I woke up and it was there. He goes through the house and hears something, and then finally he opens the door, and there it is, standing right there in front of him. And he went to do something, and it just grabbed him by the neck. Said, oh, no, the last guy took a fireplace poker to me. You guys aren't getting me this time. So maybe that was the second or third one of those things that had been constructed and come to and been sent down here to try to communicate. And they had found out that even, you know, if it was me or somebody who'd been up and they'd had dealings with in the past, and I understood what they were doing, all of a sudden I just react like some kind of other creature. Maybe they started to realize that we had a mind control program going on here, and that the people they were dealing with were just taking the information back and offloading and weren't really who they were purported to be, which is one of the things that, you know, just makes you so angry when you find out that you're doing all of this stuff and then it's just being taken away.
Now, wait a minute. Clarify. Are you saying that the Grays recognize this?
Maybe. I think eventually they finally realized that the people they were dealing with, like myself and the other people that were doing the actual interfacing up on Mars or on the Earth and doing the dangerous stuff and the crazy stuff and the highly intelligent stuff, were just in a program that offloaded to people that they did not and were not aware of who they were.
Got it.
Talking to, and they didn't like that. They went, there's that military compartmentalization again that's causing all of this confusion and trouble. As these people behind the scenes are just, oh, we're playing a little chess game with the aliens here. Well, no, you don't. They just win every time. And they look at you like, why are you being such idiots? Do you think we can't see what you simple little creatures are doing? But no, they were going to play games, you know, and have the mind control people do all of the work, all of the hard stuff, all of the dangerous stuff, all of the missions, and then just take it all away, all the information, all the profits, all the glory, if possible, and just throw us back down, you know, basically under the street, which is pretty much, you know, succeeded in my case.
Well, it's very interesting you bring that up because my last interview talked about this with the current veterans, the current men and women that are going to be called to go overseas to fight in this so-called war with Syria. that they have absolutely no intention whatsoever of backing our men and women up. And in fact, you know, it's getting so bad now that they have very few, if any, I'm going to say, benefits when they get back from wartime. So I just want to kind of throw that in there because it's totally in alignment with what you're talking about. Now, you were part of this program for how many years?
Well, it hasn't stopped, so I'm in year 60.
Wow, that's right. Because once you're in it, you're never out of it, right?
Oh, no, and you'll never get away from ET in the first place. You can't. It will never leave you alone again the minute you're, you know, by the 50s. End of the 50s, I'd seen, and we had, you know, the first actual contact, I guess, didn't happen until in the 60s. But there's no getting out, of course. I mean, there are periods of more visible, you know, all of the showbiz and all the other stuff that I'm not really going to talk about is one thing. But once you get far enough in, you might do a whole bunch of stuff in 3 months and say, there, we did all of that. But as far as the anything to do with the ET, well, there's never been a schedule on that for anybody. It's just when it shows up.
It shows up.
That's it. It's, you know, 100% priority until it's over. And it really doesn't matter what you think. You will be called back in. And in fact, they've showed up, you know, and I've just gotten up and walked out into a field without knowing why I was doing it.
Wow.
Because it's time to do something, you know? And once Greys and other races like that are involved. Like I say, I mean, I don't know what Greys really are because we had this energy-based creatures here and then bodies that they were building to come down. But then, just before the Mars mission, for example, I went out and up into this ship for just for 15 or 20 minutes, and there was four or five different humanoid and strange-looking other creatures that I have a hard time remembering, you know. So, Greys, this, that, Pleiadians, you know, I refuse to join in the name game because when these things, when this information actually ends up coming out, there'll be a real name. And all I can say to that, well, the reason I don't care about the names is they got them all up on Mars. They know the name of our sister planet. They have a name for Earth. They have a name for all the different types of aliens that have been here. They've been set up basically for a long, long time. So they have names and explanations for everything. So that's explanation that I don't need. Somebody else, this information becomes public anyway, it doesn't matter what we call them. But if it ever does start to actually disclose itself, then all the names will be there.
Interesting. Now, so are you also saying that once the extraterrestrials have made contact with you through something like the space program, once they know that you are fully more aware or you've received the information as to how things kind of work within the secret military program and that kind of thing, are you more apt to be A, contacted, and B, you know, called into these missions on a, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter what age you are, right?
Well, it does. You can't go up on Mars pretty rugged. You know, you'd have to be in shape to a mission like the ones we did. But that's interesting because something I forgot to mention before was they had a name for me before we ever went up to Mars and we became Alpha Johnny, Alpha Joe, Alpha, whoever. I was the grub.
The grub.
The grub. The grub. As in, the Australians, who were the only ones really watching at the time, were amazed and amused, I guess, that the human beings chose to send a grub, a child, up into space before they sent a fully grown human.
Ah, right.
Okay? So it's like the grub. They sent the grub up, right? So we're up there in this jet trying to leave the atmosphere, explodes, and we fall, and it's a saucer track, and it's down. Later, I'm up, I'm orbiting, and pulls right in. It's looking right at me. It's going, it's the grub again, you know? It's that grub. because that's what children are, to have grubs.
What a trip.
I'm the groovy grub worm, apparently. And I didn't find this out until years later. I said, the grub, what's he doing here?
What a trip. So, Jack, do you feel that because you were supposedly the first youth to be sent up there?
That's the right word.
Okay. Are you kind of like the special golden child, according to them?
No.
No.
I'm just the grub.
You're just the grub.
Showing up there. Probably possible, right? And all we're doing is protecting the million-dollar astronauts. You can't send somebody with all of that training and protocol and connections up there when the mission has 75% success. And sure enough, a couple of them, the jet tore in half, you know, another time and get the results we wanted, you know. And for all I know, somebody else, some other kid had been sent up there and just worked up, and you'd never have heard about it, you know. So it was very... we have to do this now, this week. Here's the ship. There's the person that we can get 40 pounds up there, 50 pounds. You're going on the monkey. And because it won't push them every time. That simple.
That had to happen. That's amazing. You know, now you brought up a really good subject, and that is, you know, the astronauts, and 75 to 80% of the missions are successful. You know, there's so many people out there that are disproving that these launches, these missions, these rockets, whatever you want to call them, have never successfully so-called left this location. Now, what would you say to that?
Okay. No, that's not true. But the rocket, not quite, but the rocket technology has been obsolete for decades. And, you know, I've tried to get NASA off the hook today, whoever's out front, right? Well, somebody has to do it, because disclosure tried in the 70s and 80s and kept pushing for it, and it kept failing. And so somebody has to keep up this hunt for the public. So the rocket technology, we're not going anywhere ever in rockets. And you can hear all the modern, I ignore a lot of this stuff because there's people out there now that are, that you interview and that I sit and watch and go, wow, this is where it's at now, you know, and what they're doing, what they're flying around now. But it was already obsolete by the 70s. We went up there in a small rocket in the 60s, and that had to be highly specialized. We launched at an exact moment when we were absolutely the closest to Mars that we were going to get for decades or however that worked. And with incredible speed because of incredible fuel and timing and everything just ticky boo and perfect, then we could get one small rocket with no extra stages or weight or any of the features of the big three-stage rockets. We could get there, and that was in the 1960s. So the big rocket is never going to get us anywhere. You know.
It's interesting, Jack. I just interviewed Mike Harris, and he touched upon this from a different perspective. He was saying that all of these ICBMs and missiles and all this hype about the Cold War and all these nuclear weapons that have been getting stashed and compiled and that kind of thing, he was basically saying that the majority of them didn't even work.
That could be true.
You know, that he already has very, very specific intel to prove that many of them were just stage performances.
Right, a huge budget.
What you're saying.
Well, this is what happens when you have a secret agenda going on, like we've had for so long. They have to keep front up. So...
Yeah.
Do it. We'll make it look like one. I say you can watch the science fiction movies going all the way back and get a better idea of what's going on than you can from the news. And it's all done in just layers of people who know and then don't know and just do their job. And, you know, as you know, the military has large amounts of money contracted out. Yeah. I get into stuff that I don't feel qualified to talk about it. So.
Right. Now, let's go back to the rocket that you were in the 60s. Can you, can you describe it? Was it, how many seats were in it? How tall was it? You know, can you tell us a little more about that?
Well, I remember at the time, okay, we're going to build a rocket to go to Mars. Well, why? Because this moment is coming up when it's optimum, closest point, and we'll be able to get there in a short time. Well, it turned out that any shop in the world could build an air tech metal tube. Okay, that's the rocket. Put four little wings on it. Okay, four little wings. Won't have to be very long since they don't have anything to do with aerodynamics. They're just to hold the rocket engines. And then you have a little jet engine on each wing. Okay, a little rocket engine. It's reversible with a little electric motor. Now you're putting on the brakes. Turn it off. Turn it back on. Now you're going forward. So that's done. You could build that today. Just with scrap metal, basically. That's how simple it is. But you've got to have those four rocket engines. Well, the fuel costs more than the ship many times over.
Right.
If somebody's going to go up there, like in that recent footage I saw where in 1973, it shows these people, maybe they did. Maybe they took a 200-day journey up there or something. They're holding up signs saying, it's day 100, it's day 102, or whatever. Well, with us, it was day two, and we were there because we were going perhaps 100 times as fast as them, or 50 times as fast and at a shorter distance. We got there too sweet and had to put on the brakes, in fact. That's because we were burning fuel that had us going an absurd velocity. And we left the atmosphere at 20,000.
What do you mean at absurd velocity?
We left the atmosphere at 20,000 miles an hour, dropped off that Navy plane right up as they could get us. And we just dropped and went into space. You're gone. You're 20,000 miles an hour. There's almost no air there. Boom, 20,000, 40,000, 50, 100, a quarter million miles, and half a million miles an hour. Gone, okay? Now, of course, once you're out in space, it doesn't seem like anything's happening at all. You're just silent and just coasting. And so, well, I guess everything's fine. We're going, there's the cross computer needed. I don't think we can go anywhere else but Mars, and there it is. May as well go to sleep. And that's it. Just a 30-foot-long metal tube with me and my buddy flying it, same guy who flew.
And you're saying it was electric-motored.
Oh, just to turn the rocket engines around? Now your thrust is this way. To put on the brakes, if you're going 500,000 miles an hour, you've got to slow down. Gravity's going to pull you in and you're going to orbit. But you do have to slow down. To do that, you turn off the engines, flip them around, which is a little electric motor, just turn the jet engine around on the wing.
Incredibly
simple design. I probably shouldn't even be talking about it today. It's just like somebody sitting at home going, I could build that. You know? Could you afford fuel like that? Never in your life. You
know? What kind of fuel are we talking about?
I don't know. I mean, it must be pure nitroglycerin almost. It must just be the hottest, most explosive fuel ever invented, you know, ever refined.
You know what they say? They say that, many say, anyway, that supposedly you don't need fuel. Why would we need fuel to fly an apparatus of some sort?
Right.
What is your
opinion about that? That's a whole other, that's the technology that I'm interested in hearing from the new guy. People about, like, what are they doing now? You know? But we got in a rocket in 1963, and it just was gone from the atmosphere in 5 seconds. And then we just felt nothing the rest of the way there. It was just, you're going 500,000 miles an hour, but you might as well be going 50 miles an hour for all that you know. And of course, you know, you get there and that orbit happens naturally, swings you back towards the Earth and back in about the same length of time. So quite simple with, you know, the fact that you have to have this fuel. It's going to take you 200 days or something ridiculous, you know. And you also have to leave it exactly the right time and with all the exact right calculations done so that you'll maximize your speed and minimize the travel time. And that's what happened. We orbited once. We were planning on orbiting twice, but there was so much going on the surface. I just said, no, we don't know if they can shoot us down or something. Look at all that stuff going on, you know? And we're filming. So that film's out there somewhere. Just a little clip. And I just said, no, don't orbit a second time. Just boot it out of here. This one went all the way to Mars, orbited once and went, wow, and came straight back. And we were just young, you know, young men. 63, we're talking, you know, not far away from 10 years old, 12 years old. Although I have to go in, you know, in my own story someday, how I've got extra years tacked on.
What do you mean by that?
No, I've got 5 extra actual years, not time travel years or coma years or other things that I've had trouble with in the past. I actually was born 5 years before and kept small, kept away, kept out of school, kept, you know, so instead of 1950, I'm actually 1948 or 9, and I'm because of the crazy mind control program, I've often had trouble thinking, well, wait a minute, why am I having early 40s stuff that I seem to know about here? So for quite a while, I was confused. I thought maybe they'd added 15 years or something, or maybe I'd been in a coma for a long time, or maybe I had left the solar system and come back and added a few years in that way. But in fact, I think they just managed to tack, you know, 4 or 5 years and get 4 or 5 extra years use out of me when I was young. Keep me small, keep me busy. There's ways to keep kids from growing really fast. And there was a lot of surgery in my early times. So,
a lot of surgery?
Oh, a lot, like 14 times, you know.
Well, wait. You don't just drop that bomb. What do you mean by a lot of surgery? Because
to change my appearance.
Wow. Okay. I've heard some stories about this.
Yeah.
Now, is that because you were going in on these really dangerous missions?
No, it's a moneymaker.
It's a moneymaker.
Like most of the mind control program. And people think this is all some kind of mystic, wonderful thing going on, all financed by the government and overseen by, you know, scientists and all the rest of it. Wrong. The mind control program is for two things, very clearly. A, make money, lots of it, as much as you can. Okay, using people. Okay. Two, control the population. So most of the mind control program, half of it was looking at population control. How can we get these bodies of people doing what we want, thinking it's their idea, doing what we want, you know, and that of course leads to more money because they will now buy what you tell them is worth. So it's all about gathering money and acclaim and power and stuff that you haven't earned. And that's the worst part of it, is the people who will take all the acclaim as well as the money for the stuff that you did. You know, it's just like a completely parasitic system.
Unbelievable.
It's not good. It's not healthy. It's not run by the government. It's not a
government program.
Well, they were there, and it was, you know, if it wasn't for Ike Eisenhower, this whole thing might have just split off into a completely separate reality, and there might have been nobody ever show up to start talking. And it's all it is slavery out there, people. Kids, that's what it was. Coming from ancient times, slavery had people doing all of your work for you with no payment or anything at all required. You just had the full service of these creatures. Well, in modern times, it was a little, you couldn't quite do that so openly. So the mind control program picked up where slavery left off.
That's amazing. I mean, like, enslavement is like the core issue of all species, basically. I mean, it's amazing. You know, when you said, when you talked about the surgeries, have you looked at pictures of yourself as a child?
Oh, yeah.
Are they radically different than?
Yep.
Wow.
Quite. You know, and that can be done. We could do things with photos. Don't forget the program. We just do every aspect of it, right? So the woman that I was traveling around with, she would have been one of the very first photo manipulation and video manipulation experts. I mean, we could go in there and really do some tricks. I would end up in the newspaper and magazines and all of it, right? But it just gets depressing talking about the mind control
program. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, at least...
No, it's not that. It's just that all it leads you is back to groups of people preying on them.
On them.
Quickly goes back before our time into a time when it was just like, that's really...
Really sick. Well, and unfortunately, there's still that type of species around today, you know?
Absolutely.
That's why you and I are talking about this.
Loading on, surrounding somebody with talent, ability, and leeching off them and floating on, and having a system that does that of preying on more
people. Hey, question. Clarify for me. You're with the Secret Space Program. I mean, and it's not like, it's not affiliated, or should I say run by what we consider to be the government.
That's correct. The government is off the hook as far as a lot of the crimes that are around this kind of thing, because they would never, there'd be no reason. It's like I said, those warehouses and stuff were in, you couldn't get in there. I can remember people like Frank Sinatra around there. You couldn't get near the building, let alone the end, or neither could the president or anybody, right? They really tried to seal it off and say, this is dangerous, this is classified, there could be disease, there could be, you don't come in here, nobody's coming in here. And I can't specify names because the people always were faceless, and uninteresting to us. They would just, we'd do one thing, another, and all of a sudden there'd be different people there. It was all just kept moving like an assembly line so that you never felt like you were solid enough connected. And a bunch of the characters that I was died. And I would disappear off to the next one and the next one, And then somebody else would assume this character and go, and I'd go and do the next one and the next one. So I ended up so far away, I ended up 10 characters away from where I started out.
Wow.
So this becomes a profit machine.
Did you keep your memories intact?
Well, a lot of it, but it gets really deep when you go far enough back into, say, the 50s and say, I remember in 1957, say, deciding to forget a whole bunch of stuff, like consciously, because when you're young enough, you can do that. You can say, oh, that was unbelievable. That was horrible. That was like a concentration camp type memories of really nasty stuff. You're going to ditch that consciously and say, whoa, I'm not doing that. I'm going to school. I'm going to have a normal life. Forget all of that crazy crap. And then it goes to the next level and the next. And sure enough, that is forgotten. But then when you start to remember things, you remember, wait a minute, I decided to forget a bunch of stuff at that point. And then it comes back. And then other evidence comes back, because there's all kinds of cracks in the program. It's not perfect. They just sort of force it through. And if necessary, we'll use violence in order to shut you down. But mostly it's just allowed to just, you just get left to your own devices. Much like in the military, where no matter what you did for a period of 6 months or a year, nothing comes back down to you. The information is offloaded, it's compartmentalized, it's taken away, and you are done. You've got your $50 for that day. It doesn't matter if it turns into $5 million or the most important thing that anyone ever did. Someone else is there in possession of it now.
Right.
In some family or group that never did a thing. They're just more or less set up there with the money. And this is what has caused so many problems in this world, in disclosure and everything, because, of course, this kind of system doesn't fool aliens or the creatures on Mars. He starts saying, I'm part of this group and that, and we are affiliated. And they're just like, no, we don't care about any of that, and your little earthly.
Well, plus they can see right through it, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're more psionically accelerated and tied in with that. I was going to ask you, too, I mean, how does the only thing that we seem to know is, like, let's say MJ-12, okay? Yeah, I'm looking at that face that you're showing me right now. Are they even anything to do with this? It's way beyond that, is it not?
Explain. Say it again, Lenny.
Well, you know, you read a lot of nefarious stuff about the MJ-12.
What is it? The majestic. We never had names for things. I didn't know what MKUltra was. We never called it MKUltra.
Do you think the people that are running this program are even on World?
I have no idea. That's coming in from... I'd have to think about that. I was just going to say that, you know, one thing that we haven't talked about at all is doubles.
Yes, I would love to discuss that.
Wow, this is huge because...
It's a big, big subject out there now. Okay.
First of all, Paul's alive. He's okay. But other people...
Okay, you're talking about Paul McCartney, right?
But he's fine. But doubles. Well, this has happened to me a couple of times, maybe three times, where for different reasons it's been done. Either to steal a huge character that's worth a lot, they just go over there, take his house, take his home, take his property, take his family, and you go now even here, right? Or in my case, a couple of times along the way, I just said, that's enough. I can't do any more of this.
Right.
Too much, right? And because it's been going on and on and on, right? And they don't pay with crap, right? It's not worth it. It's really a terrible situation. So it's like, no, I quit. You know, get me out of this or whatever. So on one time, I recall being out on an airfield with airplanes running and landing, and there was alien presence there. And some kind of a DNA switch went on where I said, good, I'm getting out of here, you know, and somebody else went off, technically as me, and they actually had a little DNA sample there that they did a clever switch. So you think you can't fool aliens, the really cunning human beings can, you know, and did. So that happened, and another time, there was a double when I was a kid that I was showing, and we were both about 6 years old, there was... people around me in my family and in the situation of being deep enough into the program, I would say things like, look, you're a decent guy. You don't belong in this family. Get out of this family now. You know, leave any way you can, and we'll get somebody in to take your place. Okay? And they would leave, your brother, your sister, your friend, your somebody you've known, and someone else would come in and take their place. So this kind of thing goes on at different levels, but at the level where we were, it was quite possible, right? Now you hear this in, you know, conjunction with celebrities and so forth. That's difficult to do. You know, it's possible if you want to take over a celebrity's identity to learn their whole thing and buy the character and go do it. This was for different reasons. This was for reasons of, this is too much. You shouldn't have to do this. Get out of here any way you can, right? So you end up with people who aren't who they seem or who you remember they were. And they, you know, that memory goes along with in the same way that the other mind control memories are ditched as you go along, right? Well, in my case, they started coming back 17, 18, 20 years ago, but things kept happening at the same time. So I was just like that, you know, I didn't have a nice stop and then remember. I just had start remembering what everything keeps happening to. So they made as big a wreck out of me as they possibly could. Aww. So that it would tie me up for an extra 5-10 years. And you just never be able to get back at these people or these groups who use you to profit to the term, you know, to the tone of millions of dollars. You know?
Are you saying that you would literally find yourself living another life, another person's life, even though the memory of who you are and your consciousness was still with you, you would find yourself kind of getting into a place, date, you know, like today, you would wake up and find yourself in something you should have been experiencing in the other body?
No, there's nothing mystical about it. It's just done purely for profit. You're going to double somebody, you're going to get rid of them. and you're going to take their life, which may include money and homes and connections and family and a lot of other things. Seems almost impossible. But it does go on at this level of crazy intensity that we were. I would see somebody next to me and say, get out of here any way you can. You know, this is the worst place in the world. This is to get away, you know, and they would one way or another. And someone would come in and just become them and learn the basics of who they were and just go ahead. You know, and it's always done.
So Jack, how do you describe this as being different from, say, a walk-in?
Say a what?
Like a walk-in?
A walk-in?
No.
What is a walk-in?
Well, it's supposedly where they literally take over the soul.
Oh, okay.
The spirit takes over the soul.
Possession, yeah, that'll be a high-end alien thing and nothing satanic or demonic that I know about, because I asked them about this. And while they're answering it, they're just across the room showing you places around the galaxy and just basically entering your mind and doing what they want and then leaving. And of course, there's all the other people out there who testified about grays coming and sharing their mind and sharing their life. It's quite possible they can do this, but they're not into coming down and possessing people and, you know, as far as I know.
Jack, is it true that because you are part of the Secret Space Program, are you basically kind of like, how do I say this? You're almost like a living library of information that they feel that they can just gain access to at any time, depending on whatever body it is that you were at whatever time.
Everything I've done has been, we debriefed, you know. But then, when these things come back down into our reality, start doing things, it gets over the head of humans, okay, as to what's actually going on between these races who are trying to move in on the Earth, trying to take over control. I'm telling you that they came right back in through and said, ask questions of us, like, how would you take over this planet if you were going to do it, you know? And the answer was obviously just take over the world leaders and get people in all different walks of life and communications and government and in everything. And this is how it would be done, right? And you end up with the whole concept of the hologram projecting reptilian, which is actually just an alien consciousness using a body to come down here and just party, I guess, just to have power, just to have, you know, which is a bad way to look at it, you know, but that's from their viewpoint. I can't understand what else they would get out of it, coming down here and taking over these simpler creatures and making them do your will. Doesn't seem particularly sensible.
Right.
It makes a lot more sense than believing in ghosts and goblins and demonic energy or any of it, as if it's some kind of big mystery. There's just these creatures who can do these things. And I guess they probably get enjoyment out of coming here and, you know, becoming a world leader, becoming a despot somewhere or a dictator or some great athlete or whatever. But I don't really think it's a means of invading human beings and you know, I think it's just all about keeping us in the dark as much as possible.
Well, and there's no question in my mind that, you know, the human race is a hot commodity. And because of that, there is one technology or one program or one layer upon another as to how they go about trying to dominate us, not just in the physical. And this is where it gets confusing. It's like when I'm talking to you, you know, when people are hearing your story, they're like, was this really in the physical reality, or did this happen, you know, in the etheric, or did this happen in a different dimension, or was it through a wormhole to the other side of the galaxy? You know, it's like, it's all relative, right? I mean,
it is, but I'd like to talk briefly about the wormhole again, even because it's there's two things. There's a wormhole and there's time travel that people are looking at now. And I know it just boggles people's minds they look on YouTube for the first time and they see, whoa, war on Mars against giant reptiles and insects. Hey, that looks interesting, you know, and it's just a minute. This implies a lot of stuff, right? And then you hear about time loops and causality, and you hear about the wormhole, which people assume is some kind of magic power that the aliens have, well, or that it's some kind of technology. Well, it may be that human beings are now getting to this technology and have it, and you'd have to ask other people that you know about that. And I would listen, you know, but I understand it clearly, because first time I saw it was in the Jason memory when he was taken up to Mars in ancient times, way back thousands of years ago. They had the wormhole between Earth and Mars.
Interesting. Okay,
20 seconds, whatever it takes.
Right.
So our boy Jason goes through the wormhole. He looks out the window, and what do you see? You see microscopic creatures, maybe the leg of an ant, you know, and it's as tall as a huge tower going up into space. You see some little creature moving, and you're only there for a short time. You're like a microscopic particle.
Wow.
It's the only way it makes sense. If you're going to travel a huge distance in a short time, you're going through a bigger place. Think about it all you like, right? That's how it works. And that's coming from their mind. They enter this larger place with its larger energy requirements and a whole other dimension. And it's bigger. You see, we can't have dimensions existing in the same space without physics. People going, no, you're crazy. And that's right. That's true. But a bigger place, pretty hard to argue with. So that's what they do, is pass through this larger space. And when our boy Jason went through there thousands of years ago, he saw these visions of these giant insects that would be like thousands of feet tall, which would be microscopic creatures in our universe. So it's a bigger universe, right? And they can't just go in there and go, hey, look, you know, they have to plot points, and there's energy requirements and technology and all of it required. But that's what the wormhole and other dimensions are. There's not a stack of dimensions. It's possible. There's one. And with that we know of and that they know of. And with that one dimension, you can do so many tricks combined with psionic power that it might seem like there's just a pancake of dimensions, when in fact there doesn't have to be. There only has to be one. Yes. If you can pop in and out of it, you can do some stuff. And so that's what they do. So I saw it there, and then I went through it again later, and I don't have any specific memory of that other than, hey, we're on Mars. How did we get here this time? You know. But, of course, when we went up there in the 70s, we were assisted by Greys and other races. It seems like we're up there in a couple of hours. So I don't know how they're doing all of this making technology out of this art, which for these creatures goes back 100,000-200,000 years. They've been able to do this. And I caught this in one of the talks I was going to put up, but the way they explained it to me is they come from such a compressed reality or part of space where the pressure and the gravity and the radiation and all of the forces existing on that affect you are so great that even to be alive takes 100,000 times as much energy and strength as we have. Way out here in the empty part of space where we live, they can sense this larger dimension. Okay, and based on plotting points and everything that you can hear the modern guys talk about, they're traveling through it. That's just to simplify it for people. This is not a mysterious thing here. This is scientifically, I hope, verifiable in the future, just like a lot of the other tech that the newer people are talking about. So anyway, once you can pop through that wormhole, you can't just blast off into the galaxy. You have to have traveled that incredible distance already and plot the points and figure out that there's nothing in the other dimension there that you're going to hit like a solid object when you go zip, zip, in and out. And this is where the science fiction comes into it. It's like, yeah, that is real. And they have it down to the point where they could take you from your living room, as happened to me, or from the house that I was living in with this creature there, up to Mars and back, you know.
Wow.
It seemed like a dream. So is that physical? Yeah, it is. They can
be. So they've like actually had a wormhole directly to your house, is what?
Well, it was more based on the creature that was there in the house with me, was able to open
a wormhole.
And that's it. And it's closed. It's gone. I have no idea. There's no machine. There's no anything like that when they do it. Now, when human beings have no idea how they're going to do it.
I do feel that it's mathematically based.
Yeah, it must be. I mean, anything that's scientific will have the math behind it. And that's why I wouldn't talk about it much other than what it is.
Yeah.
It's just a larger dimension that they can sense and have been able to for, I mean, it's hard to describe how they see it, but they just see, it's a different energy state. It's a much higher energy state. And even so, even though that they have this tremendous energy and, you know, much, much more, like I say, a compressed part of space where the amount of power that they have just even to be alive at all and exist is so far beyond our physical reality that they're able to sense this place and just do a little trip through it. That's all they can do. They can't go live there. Now, this is great because it works in reverse. Can creatures from the larger dimension come into our space? Yes. And there's a story on Mars. Now, this gets interesting because I don't know if it's a legend up there or if it's really real, but there are these carvings up there that tell this story, huge carvings, of this creature that came back into our dimension, if you will, from the larger place. And it was investigating. It'd be like a scientist with a microscope looking down at microorganisms. This creature actually came into our dimension and ended up on Mars. It was 19 miles tall, okay? And just to make it even crazier, since they had to kill it or something, had to get rid of it, and they couldn't get rid of it, and so they ended up with some kind of a creature that was like a giant leech creature that got inside of this thing and burst out like the chest burster in the Aliens movies. Wow, this is represented up on Mars. It's just 100 weird legends that I got to see. But that all ties into the wormhole and the existence of this so-called larger dimension, which is easier for people to understand than, you know, the dimension next door that exists in the same space as us.
Yeah.
So much here that it would be like, you know, our entire universe would be, I don't know how to describe it other than it's so much bigger that we can't sense it, but they can, you know. And that's based on super high energy state of some kind. I don't want to start with a layman dimension talk, but having asked them about it, that's all the information I could get. They had nothing else to say about, oh, there's all these dimensions. There isn't, that they know of. They would just go, don't know about that. But we have this larger place that we can go in and out of, and that's enough. You know, that gives you ability beyond.
It puts a whole new spin on as above, so below, and how, you know, as I was told by a teacher a long time ago, if you took a grain of sand, a grain of sand is its own universe.
Yeah, that's right.
And has just the same amount of activity and beings, etc., as are here. So it's, you know,
there you go.
You know what I mean?
That's what
that was like, you know, a big aha for me. I was going to ask you, why were you selected for this program? What is it about you or the others that have gone into this program that was
accident of birth, bad luck, born over across from England, probably in the Netherlands there, right on the border. And, you know, dad went back, mom was really young, and we better get rid of him because here's, you know. So it started like that when I was old. and had, you know, and said, you know, that can't, doesn't have a kid, he's, you know, somebody. So it was one of those situations.
So were you handed off to someone within a program per se, or were you?
I can, without going into detail, I was brought by the mother who was 14. Okay. So she was not really capable. Wow. We got over here and I was set up with an extremely military family, military just to the point of insanity, you know, this figure. When I was just like, you know, it was 2 and 3, and I had the little sister, and then I don't know whatever happened there. A different name, different identity. And all of a sudden, one day, I was just kidnapped from that family and said, oh, I'm going to take you away from all this by this woman. And, put from there basically into the program and told, oh, this gets you away from that terrible situation and into this program, right? Really what was going on was I was being put through various identities in order to dissociate and get me away from the original connection to the big wig who couldn't have this child there happening, you see. So you become technically expendable. And of course, if even though you're supposedly somebody's kid, that's supposed to matter. Because you're not, nobody's admitting that, you know, you're just expendable. So if we'd have died in any number of these horrific undertakings, that would have been it.
It sounds,
word of this.
This sounds very similar to the satanic ritual, what do you call it? The Illuminati plan that they have where, you know, they bring so many babies in, they have specified the father and the mother. They put them with somebody for the first 18 months. And then after that, they're literally put into specific homes to learn specific brainwashing techniques, et cetera.
This just happened. Not in my case. That sounds fine. I mean, sensible. No, in my case, they didn't have condoms around, and and that was that simple. And then all of a sudden, it was like, oh, by the way, I'm got this. Oh, right. Well, here, go away now to America, and start, you know, getting rid of them even further, you know. And then once they go, oh, well, this one's in for good. We can start doing things with this one because he's not coming back.
But there seems to be something even deeper than that, Jack, because you're clearly very intelligent and you have to pass certain tests in order to even
collect it. Well, once you start getting educated at a young age and seeing things that are completely adult and, complex and stretching, like I remember coming back down from seeing that from seeing the saucer pull in next to the craft that I was in, and I just said, look, I saw the pilot this time, and they said, what, you know, what is blah blah blah, and I just went, blah blah blah, it was this, it was that, it was a giant insect, and they were just like, adults were like, ah, but children, you just go, well, I guess that's just what happens, can I go now, you know, and you can flex and deal with things, and you can do, you know, a ridiculous amount of things and think nothing of it. So this gets into the more dark and evil aspects of the mind control program, which, boy, I heard someone talking. It was, I think it was Super Soldier the other night saying, I will not talk about that, you know, that cavern or that black goo or whatever it was, something horrible. Well, there's a lot that happens. You know, you get to the point where it's like, ooh, how ugly can it get? How much dirt is there? That's why I can sort of glib off about Clinton or Bush or any of them and say, yeah, they really, oh, I bet you they had to do something. They did some terrible things. No, we did, you know? And that gets to the point where you've got a kid in the mind control program. What are you doing with children in the mind control program? And off the top, that's pretty bad. What are these kids doing? Oh, well, they could do anything. I knew of another kid that was, you know, maybe we shouldn't talk about because this was their little pet and he would do anything. And they had him really angry all the time. And he was just this little boat this big that he had a lot of weight on. Saying he was really good with knives or weapons. So you could send that kid out to kill anybody you wanted. You know, and suddenly you're just like, oh, we didn't need to know that. You know, how ugly does it get? So you won't talk because you won't think if these people are crazy and insane and have disposable people and can do things with them. Well, it's not that far removed from the, you know, the concentration camps and the insanity of the world just a few years before that. So buried in the program are the scariest and stuff so nasty that I remember at one point, I remember questioning her about it. She said, well, she said that once it gets too bad, then you can't talk about it anymore. They've kind of succeeded in covering it.
Wow.
They'll think up a bunch of stories on satanic rings and the Illuminati and all of the rest of it. Really, it's just the same. But when something has to happen, we're going to do it. And not George Bush or somebody. I mean, and I mean, it's nasty, you know, so somebody is killed. Or we're going to try something that's so crazy that a bunch of people may die. And then it's like, oh, well, yeah, that's not making the newspaper. Or no. Nobody's hearing about that. Like, where's the paperwork? Molly, you say secret space, but I have to say there's not really much between the secret space program and the space program, because you can't afford to be over here building secret spaceships. We built a few, but they weren't really that expensive. I think the secret space program mostly refers to the military aspect of the Marines and stuff. Managed to hold it together well enough. At the end of it, you've got them, the so-called secret space, and just the corporation, you know, running the space program. You can't be building rockets, sending off missions and stuff, but knowing it separate from the space program, right? So I remember NASA forming, and I remember they were key and important, and we were doing all of this. Then all of a sudden it became like, well, you guys got to keep it in front. So then people started attacking NASA instead of going, wow, you know, you're the great spaceman. No, you're not. You're the secret cover now. So it all changed shape along the way. And anybody that it's been organized or run by doesn't know, because once you got really teed, everybody gets numb. Nobody knows what to do.
Interesting. So, I mean, you're also saying that the more that this gets buried,
yeah,
the better it is for them to create dissension amongst the factions within the various agencies or the people that are doing the dirty deeds. So, for example, you're basically saying that you've got Bush or Clinton or whatever, and they're being so-called accountable or blamed,
demonized,
or demonized for something. And what you're really trying to say, and I think maybe the other guys from Mars as well, is that they really weren't the ones that did it. They were just the scapegoat, that you guys are the ones that were sent in to do some of this dirty work. And that if this kind of thing was really going on, you would be privy to it.
Hitler was a front man compared to us. They do this stuff. They talk. They're characters, they're visible, they're accountable at a certain level. We're not. So a six-year-old there that can go out and do horrendous crimes, and then we can have it devolve back to George Bush somehow, then fine. You know, I don't know, but all of it, but, you know, eggs in a basket, rule one. Use as few people as possible to do any different things as possible. You don't want
to
only...
Sense. That makes sense to me. Well, you know, because I bet you anybody listening to this interview, which, by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but since we started talking about this particular part of it, we've had a lot more interference in this interview. That's
sure.
That's number one. So that's very, very key for me. But number two, you know, they have stated many times that the key officials, such as your Obamas and Bushes and Clintons, etc., are all over the world, are continually cloned. Like, there's so many of them, and that they're sent in, their clone is sent in so that they cannot be, the real deal cannot be assassinated. What do you think about that?
Okay, I'm not big on clones of human beings. Too much trouble. one double, effectively, or two. And it's just not as science fiction to go to that amount of trouble. So there are people that know about it and the percentages. And I remember hearing you could only clone so many times before. So I knew that. I knew that information. But this was not about human beings. We're cloning human beings. There was no particular reason for them to do that. As I recall, up on Mars, it would be more like reptilian.
Correct. I agree with that.
Be sent around the solar system, around the galaxy to do their missions, which I witnessed. That's just an unbelievable memory. But I'll just get to that. Cloning, really bad, because I don't know a lot about it. I know that it was possible, and I could only do it sometimes, and that certainly for a race, high intelligence, similar to be a space race, you would clone creatures and send them off to do your work.
Right.
You yourself off in space for 20 years and through sleep and in danger.
Right.
You would send out cloned reptilians, and they'd all have the exact conditioning and then everything right off the bat, right? I'll just tell you the reptilian memory here because it keeps
I just want to let you know, we are really close to the bottom of the 2-hour mark.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. We'll save that for next time. It's a memory.
Let's save that for next time. Because
coming to the Earth, and it's one of the psionic memories where you're a person that is attracted to the ship and you're walking towards it. You're almost there when they end up full. They got enough human beings, and they all just get back on board and leave. And everybody that's left standing around, and this is on the fringes of a war somewhere in the last few hundred years on the Earth, or maybe a little further back than that, you all end up just going, what just happened? Oh, yeah, that ship, oh, well, we got this war, let's go back to reality here. And it was a visit by the reptilian clone creatures picking up
human
beings. And you get shown this, and you think it's happening to you. That one gave me trouble for a while. I kept remembering that and thinking, what in God's name, where am I getting that? You know, this was years ago. It was one of the first memories that came back.
Do me a favor, hold on to that memory and we'll dive into it the next time. So everyone, please stay tuned. If you would like to drop us an email or send me some ideas of other questions that you would like to ask, Captain Jack, I call him Jack, or Johnny Alpha, please do feel free to drop us an email. You can leave us an email at admin@galacticconnection.com, and we'd be more than happy to canvas that for the next go-around. We're going to keep this going because as we do, more and more memories are coming up for Jack, I believe, too. This is triggering some information for him as well.
Well, it's just how to fit it all together. I mean, I've got another 8 hours of my talking specific, you know, with a picture to just make sure that I've got, 90% of it down. But what's interesting is what people there are thinking or wondering about, and don't think that anybody can answer all your questions.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you what I remember.
Sure.
Everything I talk about is not. I just don't. I try to make up anything. There's just so much stuff that was shown, so I'm just asking that.
Yeah, but you know what? That's actually why I like interviewing you. This is not anybody else's information. This is strictly your own, and you've been very adamant about that. So
we all connect, but it's pretty much I'm the past. Okay, for you out there, I got shown a lot of the ancient past. Earth, Mars, our original home planet, the races that were here, asked questions about the history of the Earth, showing stuff from the Second War and the time of Napoleon and right back to the early ones with the big skulls and different creatures that were living here. The information that I have
Yeah, let's get into that next time. And this is such a bad recording towards the end when we really got into the meat and potatoes of what's going on behind closed doors. It's very interesting. So anyway, everyone, hang tight. We will be doing another follow-up interview. And as always, feel free to, check out our 365-day-a-year blog. We're one of the most popular in the world, and we really continue to do our best to bring forward as much information as we can, intertwined with the spiritual and metaphysical aspects of things. Also, we are really keeping our ear to the ground regarding anything to do with disclosure. So anyone else who wants to come forward to contact me, please feel free to do so. Yeah. And at this point, as always, I love all of you. I'm so grateful to be here to serve the public with this type of information. Again, check out our implant removal process. It is world renowned. It is a game changer, as well as all of our other services, including my own alchemy. Thanks, and we will talk to you soon. And thanks once again to Captain Jack. And
thanks, Alexandra. It's the best.
Yeah, yeah. We appreciate
it. The galaxy that we've had yet.
Okay, everybody, stay tuned. We'll talk to you soon. Lots of love. Bye.